Psalm 84, beginning in verse 1. To the choir master, according to the Gittith, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You be seated.
Good morning. We're going to be opening up Psalm 84 this morning. And at first glance, this psalm can seem very easy to grasp. Immediately, it's apparent that the writer is longing for God, longing for the courts of God. So then it can be tempting for us to think that because the psalm is so straightforward, then there's not much here. It'll be a quick psalm to master. However, Psalm 84, although its contents seem obvious to understand, it's like a sinkhole that seems shallow but has unexpected depths. This passage contains a well of wisdom for us to learn from and pay attention to. There's much for us to mine out this morning, and unfortunately, we won't be able to muse on everything that this psalm has to offer us. But instead of that being a discouragement, it's encouraging. It's encouraging us to go back to this psalm and meditate on it, seeking to pull out the wisdom and refreshment that it freely offers. Don't let the straightforward nature of this psalm lead you to think, I get it, and then close your Bibles and be done with it. When you start to unpack this psalm and reflect on it, you'll notice the richness. You're not going to be done with this psalm quickly. Set it aside and move on. And that's one of the beautiful aspects about God's word. It draws us in to meditate on it. God wants you to know the contents of the scriptures, yes, but he wants you to store that in your hearts. This psalm is also instructive. It doesn't just describe to us how a person a long time ago felt about God. It calls us to consider what it means to live the good life. It's not merely about what you know, but what you desire matters. So let's open up Psalm 84 and see what the psalmist has for us this morning. Psalm 84 starts off with a superscription. That's the title portion that sometimes is written in all caps in some Bibles. And we read there, to the choir master, according to the Gittith, a psalm of the sons of Korah. This psalm was meant to be a song. And the ones who were given to sing this song were the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah were like a singing guild or choir group. They were the choir for the temple of God. And so when it says a psalm of the sons of Korah, it doesn't necessarily mean that those are the ones who wrote this psalm, but those are the ones who were given to sing this song, a song for the sons of Korah. Now we move on to the song. Psalm 84, verse 1 begins, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praises." This psalm is broken up into four sections. Three sections are marked out by a blessed statement, and then there's the petition to God. That is what the psalmist is requesting of God. The first section teaches us that blessed are the residents of God's courts. The psalmist begins the song with an outcry of longing for the courts of the Lord, and then this section ends with a summary statement, blessed are the residents of God's courts. Blessed are those who reside in God's courts. Those who reside in God's courts are happy. Those are the ones who have found the way to the good life. The psalmist extols the joys of being in the courts of the Lord. And by the courts of the Lord, he's not necessarily meaning the heavenly throne room, but he's meaning the temple in Jerusalem, which was the closest point that any ancient Israelite could get to being in the presence of God. The presence of God is actually what the psalmist is most longing for, and don't make the mistake here of thinking that he's merely talking about the temple and its courtyards, that he's just reflecting on how nice the temple layout is, or how pretty the decorations are, how nice the music is, or what kind of neat restaurants are in the area. No, that's not what his focus is. The psalmist is saying here that he longs for the courts of the Lord because God's presence is there. That's the meeting place that God has set up between God and man for the Israelite. And so he wants to be in the presence of God, or at least as close to the presence of God as that he can get. That's what delights his soul. That's what will nourish and sustain him. That's the good life, the life spent in the presence of God. He's longing for a presence more than he's longing for a place. And as I was preparing for this sermon, a comparison came to mind. My wife and I recently celebrated our one-year anniversary. And one of the beautiful things about having a wonderful wife like Molly in my life is that she makes everything that's around me a little bit more beautiful. My home, instead of white walls and meager furniture, is now vibrant. She, by her presence in my house, has made my home more inviting. If I'm talking to a friend and I start saying to them, oh my goodness, my house, so lovely. I love that the curtain blocks out the sun, so I'm trying to get just 1 or 2 minutes of sleep before I have to get up for work in the morning. It's not waking me up. I love that there's this bath mat in the bathroom where if I step out, I'm not getting water all over the floor. These things are genius. But if my friend's listening to me correctly, he'll realize I'm praising my wife, not my house. And let's say that this conversation happened while I was separated from her for a short time. I think it'll be even clearer then that my descriptions of how nice my home decor is really just my longing to be with my wife again. Because all of those things are in my life because of her. They're reminders to me of her presence. Same thing is happening here in Psalm 84. What he's saying here is that the courts of the Lord are beautiful, not because it has the best sights, smells, and potlucks, but he desires the courts of the Lord because God is there. Because he gets to meet with the living, most high God. That's what the psalmist is hungry for. He wants to be in the presence of God. And as we continue on in this psalm, a question that you should be asking yourself is, do you long for God like this? Is this the reason that you're in this seat this morning? Because you feel like you're missing something or you're longing for something? One of the great theologians of the early church, Augustine, once expressed it this way, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. What Augustine has found out is precisely what the psalmist is pointing to here. Without the presence of God, our lives shrivel up. We miss a core part of our being. There's a popular Christian song that was on the radio a lot when I was growing up. The chorus went, there's a God-shaped hole in all of us. And whether you like that song or not, I'll be fully honest, I think it's a little bit cheesy. There's a truth there. We all have a longing for God, and this absence can only be filled by the presence of God. And filling that longing with anything else, any other idol, will leave you feeling empty. And Psalm 84 is recognizing that absence and is properly looking to the right place to fulfill it. The longing for God and his courts continues to be voiced for us in verse 3. Read along with me. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. What the psalmist is getting at here is he's longing for the temple. He's imagining all the things that were in it. The birds in the crevices of the temple that were making their nests near the altars. And he's envious of those birds because they get to dwell in the courts of the Lord all the time. The thought is, how lucky it would be to be one of those birds that get to spend their lives in God's courts. I wish I could be one of those birds building my nest near the presence of God. And it kind of reminds me of an old saying of, I wish I was a fly on the wall of this conversation or that historic event, to just be an insignificant insect, but to be able to hear that historic conversation or be around these great men. That's what the psalmist is getting at here. He's saying, I wish I was one of those birds that always gets to be in God's presence. He's envious of the smallest thing that gets to always be in God's presence. Then this section finishes with a beatitude, that is a pronouncement of blessing, that those who dwell in the house of the Lord are blessed, the ones who are ever singing and praising the Lord near his presence. How lucky are the ones that get to work in the temple full time, just like the birds that are making their nests near the altar. He's envious of those who get to ever be in God's courts, praising and worshiping him constantly. Your desire should be for God and being in God's courts. And in the psalmist's day, that would have been the temple in Jerusalem. But I think this can best be understood nowadays as the church. Being in the courts of the Lord now is being in the presence of God's people while we worship God together as the church. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about the church being made up of individual believers who are the temple of God. It is the fellowship of other Christians, especially their meeting together on the Lord's Day, that best matches the psalmist's idea of the courts of the Lord. Blessed are those residing in the courts of the Lord. The key to the good life, the happy life, the flourishing life, the life that is full of joy and abundance, is to be in the presence of God with other believers. So blessed or happy is the person that is near the Lord and connected to his people. If you want to be happy, if you want to find true joy that lasts, the psalmist here is saying, go, dwell in the courts of the Lord. That's the first step to finding the blessed life. Blessed are those who reside in God's courts. We move further now in Psalm 84, with the second pronouncement of blessing. In verses 5 to 7, it reads, blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are the highway to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Blessed are the pilgrims to God's courts. We've learned that those who reside in God's courts are blessed. Now the psalmist shows us that those who pilgrimage, that is, those who make the journey to be with God, are in a blessed state. Blessed are the pilgrims to God's courts, seeking after God, desiring to be in his presence, and then making the journey to go and worship him. What's pictured here in verses 5 to 7 is the journey up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord at the temple. Most likely, they're going to Jerusalem to celebrate one of the festivals that God prescribed in the law. Some commentators think that this may be referring to the Festival of the Tabernacles. The Festival of Tabernacles commemorated the time after the Exodus, when Israel was wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. In this festival, they would celebrate God's care and strength and sustaining of the people of Israel when they were wandering through the wilderness, remembering that God fed them every single day bread from heaven, made it so their garments didn't wear out, and cared for them and constantly watched over them in the most literal way possible. What better festival to remind the people to put their strength in God during their wandering, their pilgrimage to the promised land, than this one, bringing with it reminders of God sustaining them while they wandered in the wilderness waiting for the promised land. If this is the festival journey that the psalmist has in mind, it's fitting Since the section, focus of this section in Psalm 84 is about how people who find their strength in God while journeying to be in his presence are blessed. Following the Lord is the way to the blessed, flourishing, good life. That's the way to true and lasting joy. Whatever the background may be, the psalmist is talking about pilgrims taking on a difficult journey to go worship the Lord. By their faith in God and then their excitement to be in his courts, the difficult terrain of the journey becomes, or seems to become, a place of springs, and the early rain covers it with pools, like a lush oasis in the middle of a desert. Their longing for God, their zeal to be in his courts soon, is a balm to their hearts during the difficult journey. That they are nearer to their destination than the day before, that they're almost there, is a source of encouragement. And the place that's referenced here that we see, the Valley of Baca, could refer to a physical spot that's on the way to Jerusalem that they would travel through, or it may be that the psalmist is using more figurative language here to mean a harsh place to travel through. Whatever way the Valley of Baca is meant here, the idea is the same, a harsh, unforgiving landscape journeyed through on the way to God. The Valley of Baca pictures a difficult journey, but it doesn't feel quite so miserable because of the pilgrim's excitement about being in the courts of the Lord. And this is true of our own walk of faith. Drawing near to God in prayer, being with other Christians for encouragement are ways that you can find these pools of comfort along the arduous path of life. Following Christ is not carefree and easy. Instead, Jesus has promised that in the world you'll have trouble and difficulty. Your pilgrimage is not easy. The world, with all its stressors and pressures, and the way that it seems like it is turning more and more against God and antagonistic to Christ and his righteousness every day, however, you have a rich, sustaining blessing from God, namely having his word and the gift of other Christians for mutual aid and upbuilding. God is good, and faith in him can make even the desolate valley into a place of springs. Now that these two blessings have been given, the next stanza is the petition to God. He says in verses 8 to 9, O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. Here, the psalmist is praying for the king, asking that God would be favorable towards his anointed one. He's been thinking of the pilgrimage to go up to God's courts, so a wise and strong king of Israel would guarantee a prosperous and easy voyage to the temple in Jerusalem. A strong and godly king would probably mean that there wasn't thievery or trickery going on in the temple itself. For the psalmist to draw near to God and to enjoy the rich blessings and joys of residing with God, then the best way to do that, that these blessings are guarding and guaranteed, is for God to be favorable to the king. And there's something more behind this. Who is this anointed one? Literally, Messiah in Hebrew. Messiah means anointed one in Hebrew. And the psalmist here literally uses the word Messiah. Look on the face of your Messiah. This petition finds its fulfillment, full fulfillment in Jesus. Look on the face of Jesus, who is our king, who is our shield. How can we have a safe and guaranteed, secured pilgrimage to God in a world that is difficult? Not by your own actions, not by your own strivings. Instead, this has been won through Christ. He is the king who took on the form of a bondservant, sacrificing himself on the cross, taking on your sins, dying in your place, so that you might have the righteousness of God, so that your pilgrimage could be secured. That the way of God could be open to anyone who would put their trust in Christ. Jesus is the shield that protects us from the slings and arrows of the enemies, giving us the Holy Spirit as a seal of our faith and the guarantee that we will be with God in the end. So how can one be blessed and long for the courts of the Lord the way the psalmist is doing here? Only through Jesus. Not only this, but Jesus has given you the example of what it looks like to live out Psalm 84. Who showed better what longing for the courts of the Lord looked like than him? Demonstrating to us following the will of God during the difficulties of life. And he showed us this without sinning. And Jesus, in his temptation by Satan to take shortcuts, to take all the kingdoms of the world, to take all the pleasures when offered to get himself food, Jesus replied, there's something better, life with God and obedience to him. Jesus was shown all the kingdoms of the earth, and he says to Satan, no, I would rather die on a cross, taking on a curse for my people, because following the will of God is a far better place to be than to be lavished in the courts of wicked evilness. That leads us to our next point. In Psalm 84, verse 10, we read, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord our God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from them who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Blessed are those serving in God's courts. Here's our third statement of blessing. Blessed are the servers in God's courts. The psalmist echoes the heart of Christ. Better is one day in the courts of the Lord than any other amount of time I could spend elsewhere, than all of the kingdoms of the wicked. We're continuing to hear the longing for God, longing for God's courts, longing to be united with God. And this reminds me of Psalm 73, verse 25, where the psalmist there says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth I desire besides you. That verse is just like here in Psalm 84. He's desiring God above all else. He's desiring God above status, above position, above comfort. And this psalm is not meant to merely be a needlepoint that we hang up on our walls and look at and say, oh, isn't it so nice that the psalmist loved God that way? Isn't that nice for him? No, this psalm is calling us out. It's speaking to us prophetically, saying, do you love God this much? Does your life measure up like this? Is your heart like this? Would you say with the psalmist that it's better to spend one day in the courts of the Lord than anywhere else you could spend your time? And not only to think that, but to want to be there more than anywhere else. The psalmist would rather be in the lowest position in the courts of the Lord than anywhere else, because he's found that it is better and more valuable. Like the parable of Jesus, of the man that found a treasure in a field, and he went and joyfully sold all that he had to buy that field, because he knew that what was in that field was more valuable than anything else he was going to find in the world. Can you say with the psalmist, better is one day changing diapers in Kids 44. Better is one day being a greeter on Connections, welcoming people to church. Can you say better is one day setting up or taking down after an event? Better is one day serving the church in any capacity than anywhere else I can spend my time. Why does the psalmist say that's best? Again, we must remember what we read earlier in Psalm 84. The psalmist doesn't love the courts of the Lord because they're beautiful, or they serve him, or they have the best music, sights, and smells. He loves the courts of the Lord because that's where God is, and the presence of God is a source of immeasurable good. God is good to his people. Verse 11. God is not withholding a good thing for those who walk uprightly. Another way of saying this, being on this side of Jesus' resurrection, is that for those who trust in God, Jesus, God has not withheld a good thing. That those who are seeking to follow Jesus and have put their trust in him alone, by Jesus' work, the way of salvation has opened up. As Martin Luther remarked, when reading through a section of Romans that had finally clicked for him of the mercy and grace of God, the salvation of Jesus, the justification by faith alone, and he said it felt as though the doors of heaven had swung wide and he had walked in. That's what God offers. That's the no good thing he was withholding for those who walk uprightly. Put your faith in Christ and the doors of heaven fling wide, and you have an abundance of joy. You have the rich and happy, abundant life in him forever. So choose this rather than the temporary, vain, and shallow pleasures of the wicked. While the power they hold and the status and all the respect you might gain from dwelling in those tents may seem desirable at times. But what does it lead to? Especially when you keep hearing all these stories of people that live that lifestyle, they have the millions, they have all the power in the world, and they talk about that they're miserably depressed and some commit suicide. Is that the good life? Is that the flourishing life? Is that the tree of Psalm 1 that's leaf never withers? No, that's a land of hollow enjoyment. It's a land of temporary joys. It's a land of short-lived pleasures. Instead, it's the difficult valley of faith, following after Christ, that leads to true and lasting happiness, that satisfies your heartache for something more than yourself. Blessed are the servers in God's courts. I talked with Pastor Chris while preparing this sermon earlier this week. I said that one of my hopeful results of this sermon would be to bother Taylor, our connections director, as much as possible. And I hope that some of you have keyed into one of the beautiful applications of this passage, that to serve the church is a rich source of joy and blessing and encouragement. So I'm hoping that Taylor's phone rings constantly this week with people saying, "I want the good life. I want to echo Psalm 84. I want to demonstrate through my actions that it's more blessed to be a doorkeeper standing right there at the front welcoming people to church than to be anywhere else." So I have three key takeaways from the psalm to give. The first key takeaway is valuing the right actions, desiring to be a server in the house of God. If you're seeking to grow in Christ's likeness this morning, remember that Jesus laid his life down for the church because of his love for her. Do you love the church? Are you connected to a church? Join in on worshiping the Lord through service. The next key takeaway is to have endurance during the voyage. As we wander in the world, we are journeying to grow closer to Christ. Be encouraged and equipped for this journey by connecting with the faithful every Sunday here. Life is not going to get any easier. But praise be to God that we don't have to do it alone. We can encourage each other and find these rich pools of faith that we dig into to find refreshment in a dry land. Finally, my last takeaway is to seek the presence of God. That's what the psalmist is longing for here. He wants to be in the presence of God. Do you appreciate the gift of being in God's presence? We all know what it was like when there was a suspension of church services during the COVID pandemic. And something that was constantly on my mind during that season was how much I missed and longed for the church. Waiting for the day that I could get back to be with the body of believers and encouraged by their physical presence once again. And now, there are times when I'm convicted that I take our easy access to the church for granted. During the lockdown, it was very true that absence makes the heart grow fonder. Like the psalmist here, we long to be back with God's people, worshiping him together. But over time, if we're not diligent, another saying can prove to be true as well. Familiarity breeds contempt. Long for the courts of the Lord. Judge your heart using the rubric of Psalm 84. This is what it looks like to desire God. Seek to grow that heart in yourself. Pray that the Holy Spirit would grow that heart in you. Then you can say along with the psalmist, "My soul longs and faints for God. I need him more than food. I need him more than rest. I need the presence of God, and nothing else will satisfy." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you for the blessing that it is to be a part of your church. Lord, would you give us a longing to be with you? Help our hearts not to put their treasures on lesser things, not to value what the world values. Instead, help us to see your beauty more vividly and clearly. May our joy be in you. Strengthen us as we meet together as a church, that we would encourage each other. Heavenly Father, may our lives demonstrate that to be with you is better than anywhere else we can be. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy in securing our salvation. It's by your work alone that we have salvation, and it is by your absolute kindness that we can be part of a church. Teach us to love what you love, Lord, for your glory and for our eternal good. Amen.